Okay, welcome. Welcome, everyone. Well, the name was Mordechai Simcha ben Elka. Okay, so our learning tonight should be in Zechus for Refuah Shlema. Everything should be well.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Can you please also be here in the merit of Eitan, son of Ben
Dovid? Do you know the mother's name? Eitan ben Dovid. Okay. Sure.
Menachem Yosef.
Ben Liora. Okay. Everyone should have a refuah shlema. Everyone should feel well. So tonight's class is called Prayer. Does it matter? Does it work? Right? Does it matter? So what do you think I'm going to tell you? No, it doesn't matter. Go home. Right? Quickest class ever. Of course it matters. Of course it matters, right? So okay, let's try to figure out. Try to figure out why it matters. So I saw an interesting story on H.com. There was a Seattle resident here. His name was Sarah Bush. She got from Nordstrom a monthly statement. Instead of getting the little small one she was used to, she got this big, bulky, 8x10 paper, and she decided she was going to complain. So she calls up Nordstrom. She says, "Don't give me customer service. I want to speak to somebody in charge." So after a few rings, masculine voice answers the phone, says, "Hello, may I help you?" She says, "Who is this?" She says, "This is Blake Nordstrom." She says, "What? The CEO?" She says, "What are you doing answering my phone call?" She says, "Well, I'm sitting at my desk. The phone rang, so I answered it." And they have a pleasant conversation. She says, "Blake, I remember back when you were just a shoe store in downtown Seattle. I remember 1963 when you merged with Best Apparel." And they have a whole pleasant conversation and talking. And I was thinking, wouldn't we be surprised if we called up and we got the CEO? But that's what prayer is. When we're calling up and we're davening, we're talking to Hashem, we're talking to the CEO. And we have to understand that that's like the Aleph Beis. That's ground zero, baseline of what we're doing when we're davening. We're talking to the CEO. We don't have to have anybody else. There's nobody else higher than us. And what's even better than a regular CEO, they actually want us to talk to them on a daily basis. So if you look in the very first source, there's a Rambam here in the Laws of Tefillah, Hilchos Tefillah. And I have everything in here. It's in Hebrew and in English. So we'll just read the English. Says the Rambam, Maimonides, who was one of the great codifiers of Jewish law, he says there's a positive commandment to pray every day. Right? Not just once in a while. Not when I feel like it. Every single day. As it says, you shall worship the Lord your God. Our tradition is taught that worship refers to prayer, as it states to worship him with all your heart. The rabbi stated, what's worship of the heart? It's prayer. So on a Torah level, the Torah says you have to serve God with your heart, and the rabbinic tradition tells us serving God with your heart is through prayer. So if we pause right here, we say, one second, just to say words without the heart being involved, that's not called real prayer. You can read a phone book for all that point, you can just read off random facts, but if you're putting your heart into something, that's when it really becomes called a prayer. And on a Torah level, it doesn't really matter what you say. Any text you would sing, anything you feel like expressing, that would count. But if you think about it, sometimes I feel inspired, sometimes I feel like a... So therefore the rabbis came along and said, let's set up a system. Let's set up for how many times a day to pray. Let's set up a system for what words we should say and a format of it. So it continues now the Rambam, Maimonides, and he says, the number of prayers is not of biblical origin from the Torah. The structure of the prayers is not biblical origin. The times for prayer are not of biblical origin. For this reason, women and servants, a person who's a slave, are obligated to pray because it's a positive mitzvah that's not time-bound. Rather, the obligation of this mitzvah is for a person to supplicate and to pray every day. One mentions the praise of God, and after that asks for one's needs through request and supplication, and after that one gives praise and thanks to God for the good that he provides, each person according to his ability. So there are three parts to it. In Hebrew, the first is called Shevach, saying praise to God, saying how wonderful you are. The second is Bakasha, to make a request, to ask for the basic things we need, for health, for happiness, for peace in the world. And the third and final aspect of prayer, according to this, is called Hodo'o, to say thanks. And it's very simple. If you had a job interview, or you want to go bank and you're applying for a loan, so it's the three-step process. First, you say, Shevach, praise, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to meet me. And then you make a request. Can I please have this job? And then, you know, like always the follow-up letter, right, the follow-up email afterwards. I appreciate you. It was such a pleasure meeting you, right, all of the Stormers. It was such a pleasure for meeting you with you. I hope that we can, you know, meet together in the future and you can give me a job. But that's really how it is. That's the structure for means when we approach Hashem. Welcome. Hi. There's sources in front. So, according to the Rambam, the first source, it would seem that prayer is, the obligation to pray is not really, on a Torah level at least, not so well defined. It would be whatever I want, more or less, following, you know, very loose guidelines. The Ramban, who has lived more or less the same time, a little bit after the Rambam, the first source, he says no. I'll just summarize. He says it's what's called a time of crisis. Be'et tzara, when there's something really terrible going on. There's a famine, there's a time of war, there's disease, there's whatever it is, when there's a time of crisis, that's when one has the obligation to pray. Okay? There's a beautiful explanation that really wants to combine these two approaches. On the one hand, the Rambam who tells us we should daven, we should pray every single day, and the Ramban who says that really the obligation to pray is only at a time of crisis. So Rabbi Soloveitchik of Yeshiva University suggested in a very existential manner that every single day is a day of crisis. If you really think about it, no one knows what one day is going to lead to. No one knows what's going to happen. So everything, every single day, theoretically, is a real time of crisis. We might not feel that way. Everything might be good. We might have the convertible. We might have the music on the radio and driving down feeling good. But you pause and you think about it. Just look at the headlines. It's scary to read what's going on in the world, especially nowadays. So every single day could be a time of crisis, and the two opinions really aren't so far apart. On the hand, you have to daven every day, and the only time you only daven is a time of crisis. Davening every day, if a person realizes that you know, there's a lot at stake, so then that would combine the two approaches. So, again, if there's any questions, please feel free to ask. The next source is from the Sefer called Beis Elokim, the Mabit. I'll read it. It says, this would answer something difficult about prayer that would seem inappropriate to ask for one request many times, because if one asked a human king for the same request, he'd get angry. Rather, the purpose of prayer is to recognize and instruct ourselves that there's nobody in the world worthy of our prayers except God, who's the master of the world, and that we're lacking certain things which we'll mention before him. This is in order for us to recognize that he's the only one who can provide us with our needs and rescue us from persecution. So if you see this one source, who's really gains the most out of prayer? We do. Prayer is for us. So you say, okay. So prayer should do everything. So it's not on the source sheet, but I want to share with you a study that I found conducted by Harvard. Does prayer work? Right. So it depends, I guess, what you understand the purpose of prayer to be. There's a very fascinating study that was done by Harvard. Researchers have long been trying to prove and measure the effect of prayer. Since 1988, at least two studies have found that third-party prayers bestow benefits, but other two studies concluded there are no benefits. These and other studies have been soundly criticized for flaws in both method and outcome. The fuzzy results go to researchers to conduct the largest and most scientifically rigid investigation to date. It covered 1,802 people who underwent coronary bypass surgery at six different hospitals from Oklahoma City to Boston. The cost was $2.4 million, paid by the John Templeton Foundation, the Baptist Memorial Healthcare Corporation of Memphis. In a clear setback for those who believe in the power of prayer, their prayers were not answered. Prayers offered by strangers did not reduce the medical complications of major heart surgery. Not only that, the patients who knew that others were praying for them fared worse than those who did not receive such spiritual support or had others praying for them but were not aware of it. Harvard does a study and finds out that prayer doesn't work. So what does that mean? The opening question, the whole thing was, does it matter? So of course it matters, but prayer doesn't work. So why does it matter if prayer doesn't work? So I think the key point to understand, and this is a hard idea to really internalize, prayer isn't about getting our requests. Prayer is not, God is not the cosmic vending machine in the sky, where I ask for certain things, and then if my prayer works, I get them, and if my prayer doesn't work, I don't get them. The word in Hebrew, lehitpalel, comes from the Hebrew source to judge oneself and to meditate. So the time of tefillah, the time of davening, like we say in Yiddish, to daven, It's a time of self-reflection. And it's a time of pausing and connecting to the source of everything. As we said just a few minutes ago, the whole purpose of prayer is for us. God doesn't need anything. God's perfect with or without us. So when we pray, it's an exercise for ourselves to internalize and towards our dependence upon God. So when it comes out that I asked for something and I just didn't get it, so does that mean the prayer didn't work? Of course prayer worked. But prayer doesn't mean that I get what I asked for. Imagine, you know, okay, parents, kids, you have little kids? Yeah? Okay, right? So what happens when your little 5-year-old asks you for not a slice of cheesecake, but for the entire cheesecake? What does a good, logical parent say when the kid asks for the entire cheesecake? What do you tell them?
No.
What does the 5-year-old think? Mommy hates me. Mommy's mean. And you understand, as a logical thinking adult, that no, if my child eats the entire cheesecake, they're going to get sick, they're going to ruin their appetite, it's not nutritious. You have 101 reasons, 100 good reasons. Of course the kid should not eat the entire cheesecake. But from the kid's perspective, what's going on? I asked for something and I was told no. That's not nice. Mommy's not nice. Abba's not nice. He said no to the cheesecake, or to the iPad, or to the car, or to the... But when we say no for something, it's because we understand what's best for them. Now, again, for us, it's not a perfect analogy because we're humans and we could make mistakes. But God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't mess up. So if we're asking and asking and asking for something, God, who by definition is the source of all goodness, if the answer is no, we have to mature a little bit and understand that that's what's really best for us. Now, we might not understand that. We might go 120 years in this world and not understand how certain requests or certain things that happen were ultimately for the good. But prayer is about connecting. There's an intrinsic value to prayer, whether we get our requests granted or not. So does prayer matter? Of course it matters. But what does it matter? It matters that we understand and we come to a mature realization of how God runs the universe. That God knows what's best. I had the privilege of hearing a woman named Esther Waxman speak. Maybe it was a year or two ago. I remember, I think it was 1994. Her son was Nachshon Waxman. Does that name sound familiar to anybody here? Nachshon Waxman was a young man serving in the Israeli army. And in 1994, he was captured. And the enemies, they made it known they had him. And that they were holding him for ransom. And something happened in Israel at that time, over 20 years ago, where the entire country stopped what they were doing and prayed and davened for Nachshon Waxman to come home. You would have, I'll give you a real life stories. You'd have a person who'd take a taxi cab in Israel, and the taxi cab driver would tell the passenger, "Here, I'm driving, you say Psalms, you say Tehillim, you daven for him right now because I'm driving and I can't do this." You had people from all the whole spectrum of religious commitment taking on mitzvot, lighting. They had 100,000 people showed up at the Kotel. And as this was all happening in this world, the Israeli army staged a very elaborate rescue mission. And unfortunately, in the attempt to save Nachshon Waxman, he was killed. It was very sad. Tragic event, a very, very dark moment in Jewish history. At the funeral, the father was unable to speak. So the father's rabbi related thoughts from them. Because no one could understand, how could it be? We never saw such a unity, such achdus, such as everybody coming together and davening and mitzvos and everything, doing so many tefilos, so much davening, was that, please save Nachshon Waxman. So the father said something that's very, very important. I heard this from his mother. Everybody wants to know why God didn't answer our prayers. So God did answer our prayers. But the answer was no. We have to live with that. And it's a hard answer, but it's the truest answer we could ever possibly give. When we daven, God answers our prayers. Sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no. Does prayer matter? 100%. Let me show you a few more stories. I turn to page 2 for a minute. There's a book called the Sefer HaYikarim, which deals with this, some of the fundamental principles of it. It's the middle source on the sheet. This is written by Rabbi Yosef Alba, was his name, in the Middle Ages. The influences from above influence the receiver based on his level and the preparation is devoted to receive it. If a person doesn't prepare to receive the influence, he's withholding good from himself. For example, if a person was destined to have successful crops in a certain year, but he doesn't plow or plant that year, even if there's abundant rain, he won't have successful crops because he didn't plow or plant. He withheld from himself the good that he was supposed to receive by not preparing to receive it. For this reason, it said when a person is destined to receive good, it's only when he's on a certain level based upon his actions. This is a general rule regarding issues in the Torah relating to divine providence. So what he's saying is that God might want to give us something, but we have to prepare for that. And part of the preparation to receive the good that Hashem wants to give to us, because Hashem is by definition totally good, and when somebody or something is totally good, they want to share of that goodness with others. That's the definition of goodness, is not to keep it in, but to give. But we have to prepare for it. One of the ways that we prepare for the goodness that God wants to give us is through prayer. I was talking to one of my high school students. So I said, what's the best Chanukah gift you could get? So I'm so old-fashioned, I thought I knew what he was going to say. Do you know what the best Chanukah gift you can get now is? I didn't know. Do you know what a Tesla is? A Tesla? I did not know what a Tesla was. So he takes out the phone to show me a Tesla. It looks like the Batmobile. The doors go up and this. I said, tell me something. How much does a Tesla cost? Six figures? No? Okay, fine. So I did not. I thought Tesla was the guy who invented electricity. No? Okay, anyway. So I said, imagine that. I'm talking to him. I said, imagine the following case. You know what's waiting for you in the garage when you get home? The Tesla. There's only one small little caveat. You have to ask mom and dad, can I please have a Tesla? If you would just say those one words, can I please have the Tesla? They'll escort you into the garage. It's waiting for you. It's yours. How foolish would you feel? What an idiot you would feel like if you didn't even bother to ask for the gift that's waiting for you right in your own garage. So I said, sometimes we have the ultimate goodness that's waiting for us. But the way we access that is through the medium of prayer. Because prayer changes us. You think, why do I have to pray for it? If God wants to give me something, he'll give it to me. And if he's not going to give it to me, so then how's prayer change it? The answer is because prayer changes us. Before I take my three steps back and I'm davening a Shemona Esrei, I offer up my own personal tefillah to God. I'm at this level. But then once God has made a decree, when you get to this level, that's when it's going to kick in. So when I daven, I've now elevated myself and I brought myself to that level where I'm able to receive what he wanted to give me. But if I don't, and I just remain at the lower level, okay, you had the car waiting for you. You had the iPhone waiting for you. You lazy bum, why didn't you ask for it? Really, when we talk to God, and the most successful, powerful prayers are not necessarily the ones that are in the Siddur. Those might not be the most powerful prayers that we can offer. Because originally, Rav Nachman Breslov teaches that wasn't the way that people used to daven. Originally, it was a heartfelt prayer, turning to God like you would talk to your best friend, and just pouring out your heart. That was the original way that the daven used to go. But, look, sometimes we're not in the mood. So the rabbis instituted for us set tefillot that were composed with prophecy, and it will get us there. You know, imagine you have a road to the palace, and there's the main highway. And if you go on that road, you're going to get there. You will get to the palace. But all the robbers know this is the road everybody travels on. So in the metaphor, the robbers, the bandits, they're like the crazy thoughts that pop into your head when you're trying to daven, trying to focus on something. But sometimes you can outsmart the robbers. You just get off the main highway and take your own personal route, and you'll get to the palace in your own sweet time. The robbers don't know about that path. That road not taken, pardon the pun, that road not taken is our own personal tefillos. The things are inside of our heart that only we can express. What's bothering us, what we need, what we're chalishing for, what we want so badly, what we need so badly. Sometimes those prayers come through the Siddur, sometimes they come throughout the Siddur. They come just from when you find a quiet moment, 5 minutes to yourself, when no one's home, or in your car. When you're doing your own thing, you just turn to Hashem, and you turn to God, and you unburden yourself. And those are some of the most powerful tefillos, some of the strongest prayers we could possibly offer.
So continuing with this idea that, that the good could be waiting for us, just prayer is the mechanism that triggers it. There's a Rashi in the last, the bottom source in the second page, where he's talking about when originally God created the world in 6 days, so we had vegetation was created, I believe, on day three, but it didn't sprout until day six. Day six was when actually the plants and everything came up from the surface. It was waiting there in potential, but didn't come into actuality until day six. So it needed the rain. So Rashi, HaKadosh, the holy Rashi tells us in the bottom source, why didn't it rain? Bring the plants up on day three. So says Rashi, because there was no person to work the land to appreciate the rain. When autumn came and learned that rain is necessary for the world, he prayed for it. And the rain fell, and the trees and the vegetation sprouted. It was through the prayers of Adam, the first human being. Prayers what brought all the potential into actuality. And like the silly case I gave my my student this week about the car in the garage. It's all about prayer. So does prayer matter? The answer is, of course it matters. Did we always get what we asked for? No. But we have to ask. It even says in some of the holy books that there's a certain number of tefillos that have to be offered up for a certain thing until the object is given. So a couple is trying to conceive and they're having difficulty. So the number is this. And they didn't get to that number of tefillos. So the answer was no. If they would have kept on davening, perhaps the outcome would have been different. With anything in life, we have to daven to Hashem for everything, from the smallest things in our life to the biggest things in our lives. There's a story told of Rabbi Nachman. I don't know if I related this here, but I like to tell the story a lot. Rabbi Nachman Breslov had a student, and they were sitting at a table, and underneath the table they heard a thud. And Rabbi Nachman turned to his student, and he said, "What was that noise?" So the student was a little embarrassed, like he didn't want to tell him what it was. He said, "My shoe fell off." He says, "Why did your shoe fall off?" He says, "Rabbi, I'm too poor. I don't have any shoelaces." "Did you ask God for a new pair of shoelaces?" He's like hemming and hawing. Wait, God's like running the whole universe. He's got more important things to do than give me a new pair of shoelaces. He says, No. The opposite. The most important thing God is waiting for right now is to hear you turn and ask him for shoelaces. You just daven for shoelaces right now. And the way the story goes, that like a student turned and davened to God for a new pair of shoelaces, and like somebody walked by and goes, "Hey, do you need a pair of these?" And like hands him a new pair of shoelaces. That's the story that's brought down in the Breslov tradition. I think we take from that that we have to think that our small, there's no such thing as a small request. From the greatest, most significant issues in our life to the more minor ones, every single thing we need to turn and ask God for prayer, because it changes us. And we need to realize that the source of everything is from God. And sometimes we think like, you know, like I've got a few different avenues. I have to go to the doctor, and I have to go to my stockbroker, and I have to go to my lawyer, and I have to do clients, I have to do this and this and this. Whether the deal is successful or not is not ultimately depending upon how well your presentation goes. Whether you land that client or you don't, whether this happens or it doesn't, everything is up to Hashem. So that's what we started with. God's the CEO of the universe. And when we're davening, we get that direct connection to Him. It's very nice, but I have potholes. If you come, I hope nobody got hit a pothole in the parking lot tonight. I can't call up the president right now and say, "Excuse me, could you come by and fix the potholes?" There's bureaucracy. There's a whole chain of command. I don't have to wait in that. When I need something from God, I have the direct access to Him. That's a very empowering feeling. When I'm davening, I'm talking directly to the Creator of the entire universe. Let me show you a few more sources. Any questions so far? We're good? Okay. On the last page, this is from the Sefer Rabbi Azriel Tauber. He's quoting, he's bringing on the Rashi that we just quoted. Rashi's teaching is, despite the world's necessity for rain, no rain fell while no one prayed for it. There's a specific system connecting heaven and earth. Heaven bestows plenty upon earth, but only on the condition that man, on earth, connects heaven to earth through prayer. This can be compared to an electric current, which is connected to every house. In order to benefit from it, we need to turn on the switch. So too, the divine flow of bounty is prepared and ready bestowed upon us to benefit from, and prayer is the switch to bring it down. You know, we have so many different analogies we could use, but if they turn off the lights, electricity is in the building. You can't see electricity. You can never, ever see electricity. All we can see is the effects of electricity. You like when you put your hand on that thing, like the hair, the physical hair goes frizzy, right? You're not seeing electricity. You're seeing the effects of electricity. But it's all around us. You know, that's how an AM, FM radio works. The frequencies are all around us. If you're tuned in, then you'll pick up the frequency. Internet, Wi-Fi, right? If I have it, it's all around. But if I'm tuned in, I'll get it. There's so much that Hashem wants to give us, but we have to plug ourselves in. And the way that we do it, the way we flip that switch, is through davening. Rav Volpe, and then in the next source, compares it to like a big watch, right? The world is compared to a gigantic watch. Within that watch are many wheels moving one another until they move its hands. The watch is a spring which moves all the wheels. In this world, the spring is prayer. Everything happens, and really only happens through prayer. So a lot of people will ask a very good question, say, what do you mean everything happens through prayer? I look at my neighbor, and they've never davened once in their life. Everyone's healthy, nice big home, fancy cars, big screen television, ooh-ah, ooh-ah, ooh-ah. They never davened. The answer is, you know what? Maybe they didn't. Maybe they never once davened in their life. But somebody did. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a bubby, an altar bubby. Somebody davened. Because the way Hashem runs the universe is that only through prayer does things come into our life. So we think about that. The question we began with, does prayer matter? Yes. Hashem should give us good things. We have to understand that part of the process of that is attuning ourselves and recognizing, first of all, that we are deserving of nothing. We can't come to God with any claims of, I deserve X, Y, and Z. Not at all. But we ask Hashem, please, in your mercy, have rachmanis, have compassion upon us. And even if we're not deserving, please, provide us with these certain things. Protect the Klal Yisrael. One last source. Do we have time? Okay, good. One more source in. I'm sorry, are there any questions? I feel bad. I'm talking the whole time. We're good?
We're good.
We're good, okay. Let's go to the last one. Rabbeinu Bechaya, Imaku, in the Sefer called Kad HaKemach. He writes, the power of prayer is so great, it could even change the course of nature, save a person from danger, and nullify a heavenly decree. Like we said, not all, sometimes the answer is no. But we should never, ever lose sight of that we're praying to the source. That when we're turning to God and asking for something, really, we're not allowed to pray for a miracle. But, on the other hand, God is all-powerful. And we're turning to the most powerful being in the universe, so that's a very uplifting and inspiring message. And there's obviously a lot more to talk about prayer, but I think I just wanted to give a few of the outlines of it to quickly review. We saw that there is a formal obligation of prayer. Originally, that wasn't to set any set text, but now we have that. But in addition to the set prayers, so perhaps some of the most powerful prayers we could ever give are our own heartfelt ones, where we pour our heart again like you're talking to your best friend, to turn and talk to Hashem like you're talking to your very best friend in your own language, whatever it is. For most of us, I'm assuming it's English. It's probably not Hebrew. It's probably not Yiddish. It's certainly not Chinese. But to talk to God in the language that we can express ourselves our best. And by doing that, we pause and we reflect and we realize that who's in control and that we turn to Him with all of our quests and understand that that's the mechanism, that's the switch, that's the watch, that's the spring, that's the plug, that's what gets all the energy flowing in this world. The way to access that, and Hashem should give only good things for the Jewish people, is through the mechanism of prayer. We mentioned a few Hebrew names at the beginning of the class, so as a result of us coming together, learning Talmud Torah together, so Hashem give a complete, speedily, refuah shleimah to everybody.
Thank you so much.
Okay.